Hi, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of the Minnesota Swim and Vibecast. I am your host today, Mark Seguin, and we have a very special guest. We have Phil Archer, Associate Director of the Minnesota State High School League, who oversees not only swim and dive for both boys and girls, but lacrosse and synchronized swimming and adaptive bowling. And did I miss any?
Actually boys basketball, boys and girls soccer in the fall. Yeah, there's and the marketing and sponsorship aspects are mine as well. So a lot of moving parts over the course of the school year.
So we know Phil's a busy guy, so we appreciate his time hopping on here and sharing some stuff about the State High School League and swimming and diving in particular. So a lot of people probably don't have a lot of visibility to you. Why don't you give us a little background on not only your own experience with athletics, but your work life in athletics?
Yeah, sure. Well, for starters, Mark, thanks for having me on here. And, you know, I love the opportunity to talk to the people in the swimming and diving community in Minnesota. And, you know, my thing, and you and I have talked about this a little bit before, you know, off camera, but my thing is I want to make sure that I'm putting myself in the best position to serve the student athletes and the communities in Minnesota. And so it's been a kind of a huge learning process for me, being more of a team sport guy, your traditional team sports. And so it's been really, really fun to be able to get into a new place where I'm learning some new things. I'm learning a different sport. And I'm in a position where I've got to do it at a high level so that we, one, maintain the integrity of it, but two, we're providing awesome experiences. So thanks for having me on here, and I love the opportunity to interact and learn more and do some more things within the swim dive community.
Excellent.
You know, as far as, you know, personal background and where I came from, I grew up right in St. Paul. You know, my parents were in the Rondo neighborhood, you know, Lexington and University area, kind of by Jimmy Lee and Central High School, and spent a lot of time in the neighborhood there. All my family was there, and started playing sports at a relatively young age, you know, at Newell Park and at Jimmy Lee and at Hancock Rec Center in St. Paul, baseball and t-ball and football and all those good things, basketball. And just had a great experience growing up in the 80s and 90s in St. Paul, man. It was a really great time. And there was a lot of really good people around those different rec centers and the schools that I attended that really talked about how athletics, if done right and done well, can open up a lot of doors for you. And so, you know, my family was that we love sports. We were always around and, you know, whether it was Vikings or Timberwolves or, you know, North Stars and then Wild and all that kind of stuff, whatever it was, man, we were involved. We had a predominantly black hockey team called Mariucci Intercity that I even played at Oscar Johnson and Pleasant Arena in St. Paul.
That's, you know, awesome.
So, I mean, we were doing everything, man. And so went to a small school in St. Paul, right in that Lexington University area, ended up at Creighton-Durham Hall. And I went there actually for the ROTC program, not because of sports. I didn't really know much about their sports. I just loved playing sports, and that was just kind of a thing. My parents probably did. I didn't. But I went there because of the ROTC in the military. I wanted to be either a fighter pilot or some sort of Navy SEAL or something like that, something hard to do, you know?
Yeah, and, totally.
That was the driver for me because they had military in school, you know? And so went there and graduated, and football ended up being something that was really good for me. Played football and basketball there, did a bunch of other, you know, activities as well, but football and basketball were kind of my thing. By the time I was a junior and senior, it was really football. And and just had a really good overall experience, man. And coming out of CDH, I went to the University of Minnesota and played there for 4 years with Glenn Mason and his crew. We had some really good teams there. Some good
people. You had some amazing teams back then.
Yeah, we had some great times. And being a St. Paul kid, coming out and having the ability to play in front of your people is a big deal. And so that was part of my entire motivation of staying home for college. And it wasn't like a comfort thing or anything like that. It was like, hey, I'm really proud of where I'm from. Let's roll. And so I was there for 4 years. I graduated, and I actually played my fifth year at Western Illinois. So I started my master's, played one last year of college football at Western Illinois, And that was a great opportunity. And I have some great, friends and colleagues that have come out of that time at Western Illinois working on my master's, and didn't end up finishing my master's because I got a chance to go play pro football. Wow. And went over to NFL Europe, bounced around between the San Diego Chargers organization and the Vikings organization between like 2005 to 2007-ish. Went back to NFL Europe, got sent back there another year to go learn and get better. And I had some awesome times over there too. You know, living in Amsterdam, we actually lived in a city called Utrecht just outside of Amsterdam. Okay. It's kind of like Eagan to St. Paul. It's not
sure.
too far.
It's but not too far out.
Yeah, it's not too far, but you're not, you probably need to hop on a train, right? And so had a great experience there, had some fun there. Didn't really do too much in the NFL. I got a little bit of service there, but
You made it, though, man. That's huge in itself.
I didn't really appreciate that until a long time after I was done. Yeah. You know, when you spend some, you know, fifth grade till, you know, you're in your mid 20s and you're only there for 2 years, it's a big disappointment. But I learned to appreciate that later on with the NFL Alumni Association and some of the different, I would say maybe mentors I've had that were former players as well. It just taught me how to look at my sports experience in a different way. So I viewed it pretty negative because I wasn't able to be there as long as I wanted to. And like you said, that's a very rare and awesome experience. And I've learned to appreciate my time and experiences that I had as a professional athlete. So that was about 2 years, two, three years between bouncing back and forth between NFL Europe and here and surgeries and injuries and all that kind of, you know, stuff that comes with that business. And then I kind of got to work. I had two knee surgeries at the end in between that 2006 and 2007 season. And it was like, all right, well, not a whole lot more opportunity there in the U.S. At least I could have went to Canada. That just really wasn't a thing for me. And, I said, all right, well, I went to school pre-med and did all these different things at the U of M, and I ended up switching to, you know, PT and cause I could graduate earlier.
You'd have to school another 12 years.
So I did that, and I hopped into the medical device world, and I worked with a company out of Apple Valley called ARPWave. I actually did my internship there, and that got me into, it's like a nice balance between athletics and the business world, and did that for a handful of years. Went into a couple of other sales area and consulting area, and I got a random phone call from a former teammate of mine that was primarily, we were at the U of M together, but we spent some time on the Vikings practice squad together as well. But I get a random phone call at like 6:30 in the morning from a buddy named Yuki Dozier. And he just says, hey, I know you're looking at maybe getting back into athletics from the sales stuff and everything. Your high school is looking for an AD. You should go look at that instead of going and trying to be a coach or something. That's here locally. And random phone call. I mean, totally random.
What'd you think? Were you like, this guy's crazy?
No, I appreciated Yuke, and Yuke was working in, he was working, I think at the time, in Robbinsdale Cooper School District or something like that as their finance director. And so he has a good head on his shoulder. So I take his advice and I said, let me look into it. And within a year, less than a year, I was the athletic director at Creighton-Durham Hall and starting down a path of athletic administration, which was, it's awesome in its own right. But it's a big transition from, you know, the sales and marketing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, got to go back there and serve as the athletic director in that community, which was awesome. It was great coming from that community. There's so many people that have done so much, you know, from a high level athletic standpoint and business owner standpoint. I felt kind of obligated to do some things, and I wasn't able to necessarily do it financially because I only played 2 years. So this was the next best thing for me to be able to serve in that community and help work on their athletics and get them back to the area of prominence that they were in the late 80s and the 90s and early 2000s. Yeah. And there's some really cool things going on there now as a byproduct of that, which I'm happy to have been a part of. So
that's cool.
Was there for 5 years at CDH, and then some things aligned at the Minnesota State High School League that kind of opened up the opportunity for me to take a bigger role here and do things more than just being on committees, or do things more than just being on, you know, ad hoc this or awards committee for this or that, or working in a tournament. We're, you know, 2 years in now as an associate director of the league. That's doing a lot of learning and enjoying a lot of the interactions that I have with our member schools and our kids at the tournaments.
That's an amazing journey.
Yeah. So kind of all over the place, man, when you start to think about it.
And a lot of diversity, and a lot of experience. And I'm sure you take a lot of that into your job that you're doing today too. And it really kind of helps you see things from different perspectives.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I look at the different aspects of what I'm bringing to the league right now. And it really is a conglomeration of all of the different career paths that I have. So all of that career equity is kind of full, channeling down into this one position where there is a sales and sales side, a marketing and sponsorship piece. Yeah. There is an administrative aspect. There is a leadership piece. So all of these different things that I've had to work on are very, very applicable in this position. And I'm proud to be able to utilize them.
That's so cool. So if I'm your average coach and I walk up to you and I say, Phil, nice to meet you. What exactly do you do as it relates to swimming and diving? Like, I know you hand out medals. I've seen it at the state meet. What else? Right.
I would say, and this is maybe, I feel there's a lot of disconnect at times between our coaches and our spectators even and the league. And so I knock it down to two very simple things that the league does. And this is not the day-to-day of like, hey, Phil, what's your job? But from a big perspective, the league does two things, right? We provide educational opportunities through athletics and activities for our students, right? And then we support our member schools, right? That's it. So we support those member school ADs in whatever it is that they need in doing their job to make sure that they're providing these opportunities for their student athletes and their participants in activities. So that's when you really break it down to it, that is it in a nutshell. On a day-to-day, we deal with everything from helping ADs with eligibility and uniforms and rules to helping making sure that their coaches are educated on concussion management and different rules modules and things like that that actually help provide a safe working environment for your coaches and for your student athletes.
Yeah, you guys do provide an incredible amount of resources for coaches. I know I can speak from my own experience to make you a better coach, right? So we can help support kids with education through athletics.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the pieces where we just add a ton of value. Charlie Campbell in our office is you know, he heads up the aspects of education for our coaches and our ADs, and he does just a phenomenal job at finding things that are applicable and making sure that we're drilling those things home so that when a coach is in a situation where he's got to make a phone call or he's got to make a decision on a player or something like that, he can do that in as educated a way as possible.
That's awesome. Yeah. So since swimming's probably a brand new sport, unless you had to do some swimming during some of your rehab, and I have a Ben Lieber story about when he had to do that once and how he thought he was going to die after a length in the pool. What have you learned about swimming? What about the sport have you said, wow, that's really surprising to me?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. We grew up in Minnesota, 10,000 lakes, all that stuff. I'm a fish, man. So we spent a lot of time,
in
the water and doing different things, my brothers and I growing up. And so swimming itself is not foreign to me, but swimming as a competition sport is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think my first year in, the big piece was just kind of learning the structure of the sport, you know, the individual aspect of it, the team aspect of it, some of the subjectivity aspect of the diving piece, all of those different things. And now that I need to back up and I just need to say thanks to a couple of people that have helped through that process. So our tournament manager at the state level, his name is Chris Arseth, absolutely phenomenal dude. And I would say because of Chris and because of Jim Marshall, our officials, our rules coordinator here at the league, those two individuals have helped me to understand not just the ins and outs of the rules of the meet and, you know, the rules of competition, but really the meet dynamics of how the flow of an event needs to go. And, you know, how does this work best? Even down to the equipment of, you know, the, like the backstroke equipment and the different touch boards that we use at the University of Minnesota. So, and I guess I would be wrong if I didn't include Linda McKee at the U. She's been just as vital in me learning the sport of swimming, from that facility standpoint, that event management standpoint, as Chris and Jim have as well. So, you know, we've got a really good team, and I've been able to tap into them to just learn a lot. And then again, going back to that initial mission of, you know, providing these opportunities and doing it as high of a level as we can, I challenge those folks a lot. I will tell you that much.
They're all great and they're all loved. I know them all well. And I agree. They're an amazing resource for you, for me. Not too many weeks go by without me texting Arseth about something. Mm-hmm. You guys deserve your credit, and I won't edit that part out.
Yeah.
maybe the Arseth part. We'll see. Cool. So you've learned a bit about swimming and diving. What do you think we do really well as a sport in Minnesota from a high school level? What have you noticed? You're like, wow, swimming does this so well. We should use this in other sports. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I really commend, and I saw this reinforced when I started working with the swimming and diving coaches advisory. But one of the things I thought, even as an athletic director, I thought that swim did a really good job of kind of being self-contained. You know, for many of our member schools, their swimming pool is not in their high school. There are swimming pools off site somewhere, and those swim coaches have to be self-sufficient to some extent. And I think that, again, maybe it's just me because I was never involved with swim as a competition. But my swim coaches that I had three different ones, one consistent one on guys. And I ended up hiring one. So I inherited one who was absolutely phenomenal coach, Shannon Van Ostrom. And then when she stepped away, to focus on her youngest child that was just getting ready to graduate, I hired one. And so between those three coaches, they were instrumental in me learning the sport too, but it was because they were so self-sufficient. They were so knowledgeable, so passionate, so driven within their you know, profession, that they were able to educate me. And so I think that the swim community, again, I've seen that reinforced now working with the coaches advisory. I've seen it reinforced working and seeing how the coaches association interacts and works with each other, just different things like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I think the swim community does a really good job of that piece. And from personal experience, educating those that don't really grasp it fully and welcoming them into that community. I have felt nothing but positive vibes from 99.9% of the people within the swim community when this big guy comes in that is definitely not a swimmer, right?
And totally.
But it's been all good stuff. So I think that's the first thing that sticks out for me when you talk about what do they do well.
I would 100% agree. And as a lifelong swim member, we wear that self-sustaining ability because we feel like we kind of get left out, like a little chip on our shoulder sometimes. So we're pretty proud of that, I would say.
And that's good. Yeah, I was going to say. That's sometimes playing with a chip on your shoulder is a good quality to have, you know?
100%. It forces you to get some stuff done that maybe it wouldn't get done otherwise.
Yep.
What areas have you seen? And I know it's early on and tough and you're working on a lot of things. What areas can we improve on as a sport where you're like, you know, other sports do this a little better or anything that you might see just sticks out, if anything?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that other sports do, you know, X, Y, and Z better. But the thing that pops into my head initially when you ask that question, just like many of our other sports, is what are the succession plans looking like? You know, where are things
like going? Officiating?
I think officiating. I think of coaching.
Yeah.
You know, coaching I don't think is as glaring as officiating. But, you know, what are current coaches and current officials doing to identify those student athletes that have a high drive, have a high passion, love the sport, and would stick around to contribute to bettering the sport when they're done competing?
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know that work is or isn't being done, but that's one of the areas that I see in many of the sports that I work with, where That's an area that's going to need a little bit of, come on, let's go.
Yep.
Right. And so I would love to see some more veteran coaches and officials starting to identify those student athletes that obviously at the high school level that might not go on and swim professionally or collegiately, or might not, or maybe even college swimmers that were part of their program that will not continue on after that, and pulling those student athletes back into the fold and giving them opportunities to coach, giving them opportunities to come and officiate and do different things along those lines where they're still involved, they're still contributing, they're still building to the culture of swimming and diving in Minnesota, but it's not as a student athlete anymore. And that piece is something that I see many of our programs needing, but especially in the swimming and diving community, we could definitely, I would say do a better job of grabbing up some of the young people and finding ways to get them involved and then finding reasons for them to stay around.
That's great. No, I 100% agree with that. That's definitely a need out there. And hopefully as a community, we can come together a little bit and start tackling that.
Yeah.
'Cause I think you're right. There is a gap between the savvy veterans in the sport and some younger ones, but in between, and I get life happens.
Yep.
It's hard when you've got younger kids and all that stuff, but how do we keep a steady pipeline and we keep a bench? On that one. Yeah, no kidding.
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah, and the benefit that swimming and diving has is as we mentioned before, you guys have such a great community. You have such a welcoming, open arm community that it shouldn't be too hard to do that once the focal point gets on to who are we pulling in? Who are we bringing around, and who are we intentionally trying to keep around because they're going to add a ton of value to our school or our community or our program or the state of swimming as a whole. It's got to be intentional.
I agree. So often we get focused on coaching what's in front of us at the time that we don't think about our program holistically over a period of time, or even our sport, which is even bigger than that, over a period of time. And that's a really great call out. We're in a break right now. All the high school coaches are enjoying their time off, but we got to get back at it in August for girls season and then boys season. What are some of your focus areas? And I assume that's one of them, for the boys and girls or girls and boys season coming up in 2024-25.
Yeah, I think that the two things that come to mind initially are obviously continuing our great partnership with the University of Minnesota. So we always work in our facilities and our times and calendars and schedules and all that stuff. So that's kind of the first 31 of the conversation is like, hey, do we have a pool?
Right? Yep, anyone, pool, anyone.
So, but then the next thing I think of is really working with our coaches association and our coaches advisory. If you're a young coach out there that's listening to this, or if you are a someone that is contemplating coaching, the Swimming and Diving Coaches Association, they've got a really good thing going, but they need involvement. And the more coaches that we have that are a part of that, I think the better understanding people are going to have of how their program works, how their school works, and how the league is there to support them. I think there's, again, if you're not a part of a lot of these conversations that the Coaches Association bring to the table through their coaches advisory and their other communication with the league, you're not going to have a good grasp on how the league functions. And really the league is driven by its membership. We're here to serve the member schools of the league. And a lot of that happens through that coaches association and the communication that advisory has with the league. And so getting involved in that, like that's a focal point for me this year. And it was last year as well. And, the Rick Ringheisens of the world and the Megan Magnusons and Ryan Kelly, all of them are doing a phenomenal job of getting things going. But it goes back to what we were just saying about getting some of the newer folks involved and helping them understand the power and the magnitude of being a part of that group.
Yeah. And I think that is a very good point. Those communication mechanisms that exist between athlete to association to state high school league and cycles through. Yeah. If those aren't in place and aren't being utilized, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
But they're there. They exist. We just got to make sure we're using them and everybody's using them, not just the select few.
Well, one of the things that's the blessing and the curse of having a lot of super self-sufficient coaches is
we don't ask for help.
they don't ask for help, or if there's positions or times when they're in a position where they might need some help, there's quite a bit of turnover in athletic directors. And that's just kind of the reality. It's a very challenging job. It's a very thankless job at times. And so there's a lot of turnover. And if you've got a younger or newer athletic administrator that is still learning in their own right, sometimes they might not have the right answer to give you, to point you in the direction of that coaches association or to help you out there. And that's what the league is really here for, is to try and help those ADs get to a spot where, you know, they're the professional, they're the expert on all things running those programs in your different communities and being able to support you as coaches and get some of those things done. And so I think that's another challenge that sometimes, you know, schools or districts have to overcome, is having ADs that are really going through the learning process themselves too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as a coach, if you've been there for 10 years, I mean, I know one of my schools, I think I'm on my fourth AD and I've coached 6 years, right? It's hard to restart each time.
It
is a fact of life. Yep.
There's a lot of different pieces there, but yeah, it's definitely a fact of life. And that's one of the things here at the league that we are also focused on is that retention of athletic administrators. How can we help support making sure people stay in those jobs longer, so that at the end of the day, those schools can perform at a higher level?
Absolutely. Yeah. One final question before we let you go, because we're running up on the half hour I said I'd only take from you. Ooh. As an athlete or a coach, are there opportunities for me to be involved in the state high school league? Things like that.
Yeah, totally. So I go back first initially to that coaches association and getting involved with those veteran coaches that could really direct and steer you on that. But the other piece is there's a ton of different roles between our regions and our state events, right?
Okay.
So you've got section tournaments, section meets, all those different things. Yeah. Well, those involve people that need to generally run them, and they're looking for athletic administrators or coaches or other people that add value there. So that's definitely one opportunity. And I think if you've had chances and opportunities to do different things there, the next step is, you know, connecting with the state staff, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like? What type of positions are there available for working, volunteering, different things along those lines? Two big pieces. You know, when you start to talk about postseason play and getting involved more, and then going right back to that coaches association piece of getting involved there. Again, we, as a league, we take direction from our member schools, and our coaches advisory is a big piece of that. And so the more involved that coaches are in that group, the more of a good, call it a good pulse, they're going to have on what's going on, what opportunities are there. Maybe even just heads up on simple things like rules changes or different things like that, or things to keep an eye out for throughout the years as you grow as a coach. So that coaches association, in my mind, is a lifeline for you.
Great advice. Yeah. Phil, thank you so much for coming on today. Super appreciate it. Great insight. A lot of people don't have visibility to what you and the State High School League do for all of our sports and our student athletes and our athletic administrators, and I really appreciate it. Hopefully we can have you on sometime during the girls' season to have a quick check-in, see how things are going, and if anything new has popped up or anything we need to celebrate, let's do it.
Awesome, Mark. Yeah, thank you for having me here. And again, I'm as I'm going through some of these different processes, just my ability to be around and spend more time with the people that are really, really good at the actual sport itself. I can run the events and things like that, but I want to also be versed with the sport itself as high a level as I possibly can. And things like this, and, you know, being able to spend time with you, being able to spend time with Chris and Jim and, you know, Rick Ringhaus, all these folks, Megan Magnuson, you know, Kelly, all these different things, those all add to, you know, I guess the ability of my ability to help put together an awesome event. Sorry. I'm really appreciative of the opportunity just to come and chat with you and spend some time.
We appreciate having you, Phil.
Great. Cool. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care.